A mother of two recent college graduate daughters who went through the public school system, Emily worked in financial and tech sector, including Morgan Stanley, GE Capital, and UBS for more than 26 years in New York. The most recent position she held was the Vice President of Sales Effectiveness at Nightbrain, a network management software company. Emily loves traveling, swimming, and baking, and has already visited 49 countries in the world. I'm Jessica, and this is Duct Tape Rocket Ship, changing how parents help out our public schools. In this episode, we're talking about Emily's own learning journey going through the U.S. public schools. A first-generation immigrant, she shares her different opinions about learning English in school, meeting her own needs for support, and her realization that the academic excellence is the only way for her to build confidence in this whole new world. Hi, Emily.
Hi, Jessica. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Very good. Thank you.
Thank you so much for being here.
You're very welcome. My pleasure.
As you know, this podcast is about people sharing their own experiences and stories about our public school system. And I know that you are a first-generation immigrant from China, like me.
That's correct.
Yeah. So I was wondering, you had a public school experience over in China.
Yes, I did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was wondering, what was that like for you?
While I was in China?
Yes.
Okay. I came to the US from China when I was 12 years old. So I was in the Chinese school system until fifth grade. So I basically learned Chinese, you know, in those first 5 years while I was in the Chinese school system. Back then, I would say the educational system in China was not very complete yet, meaning that there were not that many subjects or extracurricular activities offered to students. Basically, that was just like math. And when I started third grade, they finally introduced like English just to teach us the alphabets, and that was it. So I didn't get exposure to any other thing besides the very basic stuff. Mm-hmm. And then I came to the US when I was 12, and then I started sixth grade when I was in the US.
Oh, wow. It was such a big change for you, wasn't it?
It was very, very difficult change, actually, because as I was telling you, I only knew the alphabets before I came to the States, and I had to learn English from scratch. And it was already sixth grade. So the US school system and the Chinese school system weren't very different. Because as I said, the Chinese system was very basic back then. But the English system already had many different classes like science, like social studies and English and math. And, you know, some of these subjects, I never had any exposure to them before while I was in China. And all of a sudden, I was in sixth grade in a new school, and English was a complete new language to me. And I had to learn the language. At the same time, I also had to study for these different subjects that I had no clue what, you know, a lot of them, what they were. So it was very difficult. It actually took me about 2 years, I would say, to finally feel that I settled in. And then now I could start to follow what the teachers were trying to teach me in class. And I did not need to use a dictionary to do my homework anymore. It took me like full 2 years in order to feel that way.
Wow. So at that time, besides the language, clearly it was the first barrier.
Was there anything else was challenging?
Yeah, I would say not having any friends, right? So that was a huge thing. So it's like, while I was in China, I had a lot of friends and we were helping each other and we had fun together. But then when I first started school in the US, as you said, language was a main issue in itself. But on the other hand, I had no one to talk to. I was all by myself. And I had questions that I didn't know who to ask, and I didn't even know how to ask them because the English was not my native language and I didn't know how to express myself. So it was difficult. And also, one thing that I wanted to point out is that while I was in China, like we kind of all stay in the same classroom, and then the teachers just came to the classroom and they teach the different things, right? But while in the US, I had to go to different rooms to meet different teachers. So then I got lost, actually. The first couple of days of school, I did not know what to do and I didn't have anyone helping me. So I just got confused. Like I stayed in the room and then everyone was gone. And I was like, okay, now what? Where should I go? So it actually took me a while to finally adapt to this whole new school system concept of where you would need to run to your next class. So the teachers are not coming to you. You need to go see them. I was like, okay, all right. And so that's like, a big change for me. And then another interesting point was that, so I was actually following the schedule, but then like between period two and period three, I was supposed to go to my homeroom to go see like the teacher. So then she took attendance with me and it was not shown in the schedule. So I was like, wait a minute. So I basically went to the third class while no one was there. And then I was supposed to in the so-called homeroom. I was like, what was that? Yeah. So it was actually very different, but it wasn't that bad. Probably like a couple of days later, I finally got used to it. And then I was able to follow the schedule and everything, but still feeling lonely, feeling not knowing anyone, not having anyone to talk to. That was actually a huge problem for a while.
Yeah. I can imagine. It's almost like dealing with all these big important issues all at once.
Exactly.
And then how old were you back then?
12? I was 12 years old.
Wow.
Yeah. Everything was changing at the same time. Yeah. I survived. Luckily.
So what would you say the turning point for this chaotic, very challenging, very nervous experience?
Yeah. So I would say the turning point was like, as I was telling you, that about 2 years later, I finally felt that I have a good grasp on the language. So I was able to understand most of the things that the teachers were teaching in class. Then I started to build up confidence for myself, probably after 2 years after I arrived in the US. So just to add another note was that when I was in China, I was actually considered to be a very good student. I think I ranked like top three for all the years that I was in China. So I was a top student and I had a lot of confidence in myself. But when I just first came to the US, because of the language issue, because of the culture shock, because of that I didn't have anyone that I could ask help. And then I lost confidence. So for the first 2 years, I had no more confidence of myself. I started to kind of question whether I'm still a smart person or not. And then I was struggling with the class, with the homeworks, because when I try to like follow the textbook, there are just many terms I could not understand. And as you know, if you need to rely on a dictionary to like get the meaning of each single word from a textbook, that would take like 4 hours to do like a 15-minute homework, right? So, and I did not have that much time to do it that way. Kind of like, I would say, giving up a little bit at the beginning, kind of lost and didn't know what to do. But then because of my personality, I was not the type of person who would just give up easily. I gave myself a little break. And then later on, I realized that I would have to do something to change this around. So that's when I actually studied a lot harder. I spent a lot more time. I used the dictionary a lot more often. And then gradually, I started to pick up more words, and then I I felt more comfortable with the new language. And then finally, at a point that I was able to actually follow things, and then I started to do really well with my tests and quizzes and all of that stuff. And then I started to understand what the teachers were saying in class. And I was like, oh, wow, it seems like I kind of get it now. So it was like, you know, that wow moment, I would say probably, you know, 2 years after I came. So I came in 1983. So that was about 1985 that I had that wow moment. I was like, wow, I think I finally get it. So then from that point onward, I felt it was much easier. So I studied hard. I followed the classes. Then I became an A student again. So I felt very good about myself.
Yeah, it's such an inspiring story that you figured out and navigate through life and figure out how to tackle the challenges and difficulties. When you talk about that, I was curious that when you have a drive, you kind of figure out how to support yourself, like build a supporting system.
Yeah.
It may engage friends or it may engage family members to kind of like give you a little feedback and then build upon it. Is there such a moment during that time?
Yeah, I would say then it would be my sister Helen. So I still remember there was one night that I was having trouble doing my science homework. So I asked her, I was like, Helen, can you take a look at this homework for me and then see if you can offer any assistance to me? Because I don't get it. I just don't know how to do it. She then opened up the science textbook and then she started reading that chapter, you know, that homework for that chapter. And then she started reading it and then she started pointing it out to me. She was like, look at this, like, just read this paragraph. And she was like, your homework is asking you to answer something that you can find the answer from this particular paragraph. So she said, let me read it to you. And then she read it to me. And then she said, now you read it to yourself. So I read it to myself. And then she was like, you see, like, you don't need to guess. You don't need to guess on the answer. You can open up your textbook. You can find the exact answer in the textbook. And you can then answer your homework. So you don't need to spend time like trying to guess and then like try to ask for help. You can actually just help yourself. I remember that very, very clearly because it was probably that the language issue, the dictionary issue, and all the issues that I described to you before that I kind of got confused for a period of time. I know that I don't want to be the student who doesn't hand in homework, but I got lost. I didn't know exactly how to accomplish that, how to do homework. So I was expecting her to help me because she is an older sister. So she has taken these classes before. Then she pointed out exactly how I can help myself, not just to ask her. She told me, you read this paragraph too. And then I read it. I was like, wow, you know, that's one of the wow moments too. So then from that point onward, I follow her advice. I read every chapter carefully. I was able to actually read 80 to 90% of the textbook without using a dictionary. As you can see, like learning a new language, it's not that like 2 weeks later, all of a sudden you become proficient with that new language, right? It just takes time. But then while it takes time, it you don't understand when you start to feel confidence in yourself again until something happens. So that something happens is that my sister Helen pointed out to me. And from that point onward, I did all the homework by myself. I did not have to ask her anymore. And she was happy. I was happy.
That's a great story. So Helen showed you how to connect the dots in the
world. But it's funny because she probably did it the right timing. Because if she tried to tell that to me, like maybe like 6 months before, I was still struggling so much with the English in itself that even if she told me to, hey, just read this paragraph, I would be like, huh? What's this? Like, right? So I still won't be able to get it. It was just the perfect timing that she pointed it out. So that's what I figured out was that that's actually much easier just to do things in a specific order, being organized, learn it, do it instead of trying to like feel guilty about it. Oh my God, you know, I still have homework that it's not done and I need to hand it in and I don't know the answer. I need to ask this one. I need to ask that one. So it's like, you still need to find time. You still need to try to get it done, but you don't know exactly how to get it done. So you feel that you're like losing control versus that now that I have a good plan, I know exactly what I need to do step by step. If I read the textbook, if I listen in the class, I will be able to do my homework. I was so happy that I finally got to that point. And then I had no more problem from in school. Yeah.
That's wonderful story. Thank you, Helen.
I started school in sixth grade in the US. Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know if I should talk into a little bit more details about the ESL, like mm-hmm. English as a second language. So when I first came to the US, I went to Michigan first. So I studied in Michigan for 6 months. And then I moved to South Carolina for 6 months. And then later on, I moved with my family to New York. It's the first year that I was struggling with this new language. I was not in a neighborhood where there were that many foreigners, right? I was in Michigan, I was in South Carolina, and then there were not that many people there like me. And then there was no ESL because there's not enough foreigners to have the ESL program. But the school that I went to in Michigan was very good because they knew that I came from a new country. I did not speak English. They actually got me an English teacher, helped me like every other day, like spend an hour with me, like just to have conversational English with me. So I was very appreciative of her help. However, it was every other day and it was only 1 hour every other day. So it was not long enough to help me to pick up the language quickly, but still it was better than no help. So I was very appreciative of that. So a year later, when I came to New York is a place where there are a lot of foreign students, right? Foreigners, from China, from Korea, from all the other countries. So basically the school that I went to in New York, there was a formal ESL program. However, at that time, I refused to go take ESL classes. The reason being that they were polling students out of regular classes to attend ESL. Mm-hmm. So they were polling me out of my science class. They were polling me out of my math class to attend the ESL. So while I was attending ESL to learn English, on the other hand, I was actually missing out on the regular classes. But I still want to be a good student. I still want to do well. I still want to get A's. I cannot afford to keep on missing out on those classes. And then I get lost again and I won't be able to do well. So I refused to take the ESL classes. And the school counselor had like multiple talks with me, try to convince me that, hey, Emily, you need help with English. You need to do better with English first before you can do better in school. And I did not agree with that. I told the counselor, I do not agree with you. I can do it separately. I can do it when I'm not taking classes. But if I need to use that time to skip my regular classes and learn English, I don't think that's the right thing for me to do. They would try to convince me multiple times, and I just kept on telling them no. And then the third time they said, no, Emily, you have to go. So I went once and then I stopped going. So I was actually very determined in terms of not skipping regular classes. So a year later, I did really well with all my classes, even including English. I don't know, for whatever reason, I can write pretty good composition, okay? Essays, right? English essays. So I got A's for my English classes too. So then a year later, the ESL teacher said, okay, Emily, I can see that why you don't want to come. So I proved myself correct. It was funny that when I was 13 years old, I was so persistent. I just told them no, 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 like 3 times.
You know yourself very well. You know how you're able to catch up and then probably how, build the confidence consistently and you're able to catch up on all the subjects.
Exactly. I was actually very glad that I did it that way, because if I kept on skipping classes, maybe eventually I would still be able to do good with these classes. It's just that it would take me longer.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's such a confidence boost.
Yeah, I felt good about myself. You're like 2 years later that, I did so well with all my classes. And then the ESL teacher, was like, Emily, you did the right thing. I was like, wow,
As an individual, that sometimes you know yourself better than mm-hmm. what the curriculum or what mm-hmm. the teacher think it should be. Mm-hmm. So I'm curious, when you choose which school for your daughters to go when it's their school age, what are your thoughts are?
When my two girls were just born, we live in Franklin Square in Long Island. So that school district wasn't the best and it wasn't the worst. So it's like a average school district. Initially, I thought that was good enough because that was better than the school that I went to when I grew up. I did not go to very good public schools myself, and I thought that I did pretty well. And so initially, when they were young, I thought, you know, just living in a average school system district, it's okay. So then we lived there until the girls were like probably 2 and 3 years old. And then I started to think a little bit more about this whole thing, because when the kids were young, I did not really put in too much thought, right? We all know that, oh, it's going to be a while before they go to college, right? So it's like, you have all this time, so you don't need to think about it now. But then when they were 2 and 3, when I was looking at them, and then I was like, I need to start preschool for them. I need to start kindergarten. So I started to think about a question this way. I was like, because for myself, I found it very difficult to have long-lasting friends from school because I kept on changing schools. We were the first generation immigrant. We first came to the US and we didn't have money to buy a house. So we could not stabilize in one neighborhood, basically, right? So we were moving around. My mom was trying to look for a house that has cheap rent. Basically, for my 4 years of high school, I attended 3 different schools. So it was very difficult for me to have good friends because I kept on changing schools. So how do you can have good friends, right? When I was looking at my kids when they were 2 and 3, I was like, I do not want my kids to go through the same thing as I did. I want them to start in a neighborhood where they grow up with their friends. I want them to be with their friends. I want them to attend elementary school, middle school, and high school with their friends. And these friends, I hope that we share similar background. We share similar, hopefully similar values. We can have like family friends so that we can help and be supportive of each other for the next 13 years of like attending public school, right? So then I started to think about this. I was like, okay, then this particular neighborhood may not be the one that I want to stay for the next 13 years. I started to think about now which neighborhood I think it makes sense for me to stay for the next 13 years as a minimum, right? Because, you know, the goal is not to switch schools, stay mm-hmm. in the same neighborhood. That's when we actually started looking around. We wanted to move to a place where we feel that it would provide an environment for the girls to grow up peacefully, have enough competition, have enough push for them to do well, but at the same time, do not to the point where the competition gets so intense that they would get very stressed out. Mm-hmm. I do not want them to be like that either. Long Island has many good school districts. Some school districts have the reputation of being very, very intense and competitive. Those are extremely good school districts, okay? Extremely competitive and extremely good. There are other school districts that are not as intense, but they're still good school districts, not as intense. So I wanted the second one. I thought that the second type would be the one that I wanted my kids to attend. I don't want them to be so stressed out that during their public school age that they don't have fun to themselves. I want them to enjoy life. I want them to have fun. But at the same time, I want them to study well and prepare to go to good colleges and prepare for a good future.
In our next episode, we'll talk about why it's important to have the after-school enrichment programs and how these programs helped Emily's daughters find their love of learning and passion through college and into their careers. If you are a parent in the public schools and would like to be my guest on the show, I would love to have you. Here's how. Visit my website, jessicazou.com, and submit your request, or follow us on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. Thank you for listening. and see you next time.